Shire is a leading global specialty biopharmaceutical company with a focus on helping people with life-altering conditions to lead better lives. While Shire's portfolio of ADHD medicines helps patients diagnosed with ADHD, we recognize the need to provide additional support to them and their families. And that's why we at Shire value our local, regional, and international partnerships that are designed to develop and enhance programs to improve the understanding and awareness of ADHD. At Shire, people diagnosed with ADHD have our full attention. To learn more about Shire, visit www.shire.com.
To Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to attention, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
Welcome, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper. Today is July the 4th in the year 2012 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Our topic tonight, Got Parents? How Adolescent Teens Raise ADHD Parents. And with us in our virtual studios is Bex. Before we get into things, I want to remind everybody that the CHAD conference is coming up this November from the 8th to the 10th in San Francisco, California. For more information on that, go to chadd.org. Also, as a reminder, visit our Facebook page at facebook.com/attentiontalkradio to get a list of our upcoming shows, access our archives, listen to the show live, write on our wall, and sign up for our bi-monthly newsletter if you'd like to get a list of all of our upcoming shows sent directly to your inbox. I think that's all the announcements, so let's move on. Again, tonight, Got Parents, How Adolescent Teens Raise ADHD Parents. And with us is Bex. Bex is a rising high school senior and aspiring actor. She's moving to Los Angeles, California to complete her senior year of high school and focus on her career. She was diagnosed with ADHD by age 5 and has been raised in what turned out to be an all ADHD family of 5, 2 parents, 3 kids, all with ADHD. Now, this show is pre-recorded before this event due to some scheduling and given that it's a holiday. So we are going to run our interview without further ado. So here's Bex.
Today with us in our virtual studios is Bex, who is a brave 17-year-old who's agreed to come on to the show and talk about or really give her perspective on what it's like living as a teen in an ADHD household. I do say brave because she's agreed to come on and to be honest and share the teenage perspective, which as a result she might be losing her teenage union card, if you will. So with that, Bex, welcome to the show.
Hey, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
This is a thrill. I you know, in all honesty, I'm looking forward to this interview because and everybody, we had had a little conversation in getting ready for this just because I needed to get my head around it, and I learned a lot from that conversation, Bex, and I'm anxious to learn some more. I guess I'd like to start things off. I'm making an assumption here, like most teens, that you're becoming more and more independent every day, and I'm guessing your parents are kind of like myself, because I have a 16, soon to be 17-year-old that I'm kind of slow to be letting go, if you will, to kind of give my son as much independence as he wants. Would you agree that you're in that situation where you're wanting a little bit more independence and your parents are a little bit more slow to let go?
Yeah, I mean, I'm certainly trying to be as independent as possible. And, you know, as much as my parents are saying that, yes, we really, really want you to be independent, it's, you know, still parental nature to want to hang on tight.
I like what you said, parental nature, because I'm on the other side of this. Like I said, I got my own teenager, and I do witness myself sometimes. You know, it's kind of hard to let go, even though my son is my size and 16. Sometimes my mentality is like he's 10 and not open to it. So I think that causes a little bit of friction in any household. So let's first talk about, not about ADHD, but what's it like just being a teen these days from your perspective? Like, you know, wanting to assert yourself and that stuff. What's it just like from your perspective as a teen?
Just life in general?
Yeah.
I'm not exactly your typical teen, but I guess my view is more along the lines of life is what it is. It gets hard. There are easy parts. There are hard parts, and you just gotta kind of figure out where you fit in.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
It really does make a lot of sense. So, if you're trying to figure out kind of how you fit in and stuff like that, is it easy for you to do that, or do you feel a little restrained to a certain extent, just with parental units around?
I mean, parents are always behind you every step of the way, trying to help you figure out where you belong, where you fit in best in your life.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really not an issue with parents in that category. It's more the issue with other kids in the world.
Okay.
Parents are always trying to help you figure things out, right?
Well, that's what we think that we are.
I mean, you always have the best. You always have good intentions.
Hmm. So this is an interesting question. Do you trust your parents?
Well, yeah, they're my parents. I trust my parents. They're my parents. I love them.
Yeah. Do you think that they think you trust them?
I have no idea. Sometimes, yes. Sometimes I wonder more if they trust me. But then again, that's kind of the parents' issue. You always want to trust your children, but we as kids, it's our job to do things that make you kind of squirm a little bit.
I like that. It's our job to make you squirm a little bit. And I would kind of agree, because I know on my side of it, sometimes I wonder if my son trusts me. And I kind of want to trust him. And I'm hearing that you're saying that you do trust your parents, but you're not sure if they know that.
Yeah. I mean, we always want to trust you guys. We always want to trust that you know what's best for us and all that sort of fun stuff. We just also want you guys to trust us. Sorry, hold on. Again, ADHD. ADHD House of Five, sister barging into room.
No, that's okay. I totally understand. One of the cool parts about the show I wanted to bring her on is I think that's an interesting insight for me as a parent to look at my son and actually think, well, if he really does trust me, because I do have the best interest for him, what I'm hearing from you a little bit, Bex, is that, yeah, you do trust them, although I know as a parent I kind of wonder about that stuff sometimes, and you're wondering a little bit if they trust them, if they trust you. Let's talk a little bit about... As just being a teen, you've got this kind of dynamic, but let's talk about living in an ADHD household. How does that, from your, do you think that changes that the parent-teen relationship at all? Or is it different?
Well, I don't know. I mean, my mom was telling us a story the other day about a friend of hers has an ADD kid, and she was talking to him saying, all right, so what's, your job isn't to focus. Your job isn't to pay attention at school. What's your job? And what she taught the kid was that his job was to pay attention to when he loses focus and figure out how to bring himself back.
Mm-hmm.
And so my mother's reaction is, oh, so that's how it works when you have non-ADD parents. So basically, all of us. In this family are trying to figure out when we get distracted and how to bring ourselves back. So when all of us are doing it, it's extra hectic.
I'm trying to get a visual of that, because if everybody's kind of losing focus and everybody's trying to do that at different times, it must be kind of chaotic.
Yeah, but I mean, it's always going to take some work to figure out what works best.
Mm-hmm.
And with all of us kind of working on the same thing, it's kind of solidarity.
Mm-hmm. Well, I tell you what, before we kind of go to a break, just before we had talked a little before we kind of got into this, and can you tell a little story? Because I think this is an interesting perspective about bringing your focus back. There was a time, I think you were after school, you were supposed to be picked up by your parents in kind of carpool line, and they came by, grabbed a whole bunch of kids, and off they go, only for you to find yourself with at the end of the carpool looking around, where are my parents?
Yeah.
Can you share that story with them a little bit?
Yeah, it's actually happened a couple times, a couple different ways, where basically something along the lines of, you know, my siblings get picked up and I'm sitting there, my siblings get picked up and I'm wandering around the carpool line trying to figure out where my siblings are, first of all. So I end up calling my parents saying, where's Sid and Josh? My parents say, they're with me. Where are you? And all I can just say is, oh, okay, thank you. That's so helpful. Where are you? I'm with them. Not helpful.
Come on, Mom and Dad. Bring your parents' focus back to kind of what's going on. I'm calling you, and I'm not in the car, right?
Yeah. It turns out it was just one of those comedy of errors, miscommunication issues that are so common in, I think, every family, where it's people thought I was going to practice and then someone else was coming home and there was this whole big thing. I don't even really know. But it's that whole practice thing where practice gets canceled, but then it didn't, but then it did.
Yeah. And
it
didn't
make sense then either.
Yeah, I think these types of things happen in a lot of families, although maybe a little bit more maybe a little more frequent than those with ADHD. But in summary, you're just going about your life. You kind of grab some kids and go, and not really realizing that, hey, wait a second, the car's not necessarily full. And what I like about that story is how you call and say, hey, where are you? And where are my brother and sister? Well, they're with me. That's great. Where are you? Not even realizing, wait a second, I'm down one.
Yeah.
Which is kind of the fun part about it. So I tell you what, let's run to a commercial break, and we get back. We can talk about a few other stories related to of what it's like living as a teen in an ADHD household. So with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
We are CHAD, the nation's leading nonprofit organization serving the community impacted by ADHD. CHAD and Attention Magazine provide science-based information about ADHD to families, professionals, the media, and the general public. Attention is the only publication in which your paid advertising promotes the mission of leadership, advocacy, research, education, and support for the ADHD community. Interested? Advertise in Attention Magazine and CHAD's website at chadd.org or call 240. 487-2314.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is TimeTimer.com.
You deserve the best trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to ADDCA.com and click on Find a Coach.
Do you have something those with ADHD need? Advertise on Attention Talk Radio. We are a narrowcast, internet-based radio show targeting those with or impacted by ADHD. To learn more about advertising opportunities, email attention at attentiontalkradio.com.
This is your ADHD information station, Attention Talk Radio. You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. And now, back to the show.
Welcome back, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. We've got Bex in our virtual studio, and we're talking about what it's like to be a teenager living in an ADHD household. Before the break, we were talking a little bit about the perspective of a teenager, trust, and telling a few stories. In leading into this, Bex, I think we were talking before the show a little bit about just homework and parents' impeccable timing. Can you share a little bit with our audience what's that's all about?
You could be sitting in my house, at least. You could be sitting there doing your homework for, 3 hours, a couple, maybe 5-minute breaks here and there. And then you finally realize that your brain has nearly shut down after 3 hours of nonstop work. So you decide to switch screens and play a game for a little bit. Of course, that's the exact moment your parents decide to walk in and see your screen. Seriously, it's impeccable timing. They couldn't time it better if they tried.
Yep. And immediately jump to the conclusion. Immediately probably jumps to the conclusion that you've been playing computer games all day long and haven't got any homework done.
Yeah. Exactly.
And at that point in time, once they've come up with that summation, do you find that they jump in and try to motivate you along, or they just kind of complain, or what happens from there?
It's kind of like they sort of hit this thing where they want to kind of help you along, but it's more of an agita.
They're agitated.
They're so agitated by it that it's, I mean, it's, yes, they want to help you along, but it's also, why aren't you doing what you need to be doing when you need to be doing it?
Mm.
The agitation factor.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting, but we did a show 15 months ago, I think. We had Dr. Russell Barkley on, who's a real well-known researcher, and he was talking about ADHD and emotion, and he was basically pointing out that emotion is not part of the ADHD diagnosis and how he thinks it should be a part of it. It actually had been a part of the diagnosis leading up to 1970, and they removed it, and he was making an argument for why they should put it back in. And it's interesting because all parents get agitated a little bit, but I'm kind of curious, from your perspective, do you think the presence of ADHD in the household heightens emotions sometimes and there's a little bit more drama than normal?
I think so, because we're all, every single one of us is nuts. I think it's true that when you're ADD, you're very emotionally inclined.
Mm-hmm.
So it's with all five of us being very big, it gets crazy.
Mm-hmm. What do you do in the situations, you might not be conscious of it, when emotions are kind of running high and it's just going nuts? Do you consciously do anything to kind of, like, remove yourself and emotions from the situation to kind of deal with it? Or do you just really find yourself, you just respond in a more automatic fashion?
It gets hard. I mean, I do find I end up responding in more of an automatic fashion, which is really annoying. Because you don't really want to. You want to be more level-headed.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least I want to be more level-headed.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of hard to do. It takes a lot of discipline and a lot of practice, and I really haven't gotten there yet. I'm very sad to say, I just haven't.
Well, it was easy, everybody to be doing it, right?
Say one more time. Sorry, I missed it.
I said if it was easy to downregulate the emotions, then everybody would be doing it, right?
Exactly. If it were easy, everyone would do it.
Well, you know, it's funny because I know as a parent on my side, sometimes you ask questions and stuff of your kid, or there's an issue, and the first thing they do is they go stone cold silent on you. And I'm one of those people who, okay, so you went silent. If I understood why you went silent, you know, I need to know the why behind it, and I don't get any why. So it probably I probably get a little bit worse on my side. There's the issue that started it. Now there's the other issue of me trying to figure out why the person's silent. So now we got two things going on that just rising the blood pressures, I guess, on both sides.
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah, it's. Hmm?
You know, do you find? Is there any time that you can think of, and this might be putting you on the spot here a little bit, where you notice that things that you've done in the past in those types of situations where was very positive, emotions were down-regulated, or is it really just they heighten and everybody runs separate ways until everybody cools off?
They heighten and it gets bad. Either it gets bad or we kind of stop each other. And that's the hardest thing to do, is to stop and take a break and leave the room and separate each other, because we all want the last word.
That's interesting. We all want the last word.
I don't know what it is, but it's at least in my family, we always want our last point to be heard.
Uh-huh.
And that last point ends up sparking another last point, which ends up sparking another last point. And all these last points, just everyone wants their last point, which always sparks another last point. It's just a giant mess.
Wow. I never really thought of it that way.
Yep.
As a parent, you know, I'm always kind of wanting to put an accent on the end of it, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
this is what we know, whatever it is. And if you've got a point that you're trying to make, it just really doesn't stop, does it?
Nope. It really doesn't. I mean, the only way it stops is when we get in trouble, because, you know, they're the parents. They can put us in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Because after a while of talking back, you kind of have to stop. After a while of talking back, I admit it ends up getting from argument to talking back. So after a certain amount of argue, it becomes back talk, which is unacceptable, which brings about punishment.
Yeah, but you know, here's what I like is you're being honest. At first you're arguing, and then it turns to talking back to, and then, I mean, at that point in time, you're really powerless. Because
yeah.
They can invoke the punishment, and there's really nothing that you can do, right?
It's true.
That's really...
It sucks.
And there's nothing... I mean, people have differences of opinion every day, but just difference in family structure is... It can just kind of turn bad and downhill really pretty quick. And this is kind of interesting, it seems to me. I mean, I'm learning something here as a parent is, you know, it might be nice to let your teenager have the last word. I mean, if your parents said, okay, we're going to end this right now, but you get, you know, Bex, what's your last point and you got to say that? How do you think that would that work positively for you?
That would probably be amazingly miraculous. One of those miracle moments.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, oh, yay, I'm actually being heard. This is happy time.
Wow. I might have to test that out myself tonight. So I'm learning something. As a parent, maybe give your child the opportunity to get the last word in one time and just see what happens. It could
be real
positive.
At least once or twice. I mean, at least once or twice. But it doesn't usually end up like that. It usually ends up more along the lines of, the kid's just not really going to get the last word in, because you may be level-headed now and want to give the kid more of a chance,
mm-hmm.
but when you get into the argument, with the heat of the argument, you're not going to remember this.
No. Well,
yeah, I don't think so.
Maybe not, but, you know, it's one of those things that I've learned in coaching is you plant those seeds, and then you go into if you're just in that right mood, and you can, like, oh, I hear them coming, you know, because, you know, I know when I grew up, you know, there was sermon number 45, you know, those things that the parents would replay over and over and over, and you could see them coming, and sometimes
yeah.
You sermon coming before you got there, and you started to kind of tune out even before it happened. Maybe in one of those moments you remember it, and you test something like this out at the end to see how it works, and it helps you remember when a new sermon kind of comes on the floor. But one of the things that we had also talked about, I thought was interesting, that's related to this emotion regulation thing, is you were telling me one time that you had gotten home, you'd missed curfew by like 4 minutes. Can you talk about that experience?
Yeah, it was the first time I'd ever missed curfew, and I'd left my bag in an enclosed area, so I kind of had to, like, hop the fence to get it.
Mm-hmm.
So I admit I should have called. I do admit that I mean, I was up the steps about to walk into the apartment
mm-hmm.
when I realized that, oh, crap, I'm missing my bag.
Uh-huh.
So I ran back to get it, and I ended up being 5, 8, somewhere around there, minutes late.
Yep.
I admit I should have called or walked in and said, hi, I'm back in time. I just have to go grab something. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
But in all my wonderful smartness, I sent a text saying, hi, I just have to grab something. Hope that's okay. And with all the wonder that is technology, the text failed to go through, resulting in me being late and them not knowing why.
Wow, it's funny because I got an iPhone and I just started texting like about a year ago. It's a little embarrassing, but I'm kind of getting there. It's funny because with iPhones, if you text one another, all of a sudden I was sending all these texts and none of them were kind of going through for whatever reason. So I can really kind of relate to it. I mean, you do it, you hit send, you hear that, and you think that it's gone, right? And you don't go back
mm-hmm.
and make sure that it's gone, only to find out that it didn't, and oops. So
yeah, and like 20 minutes later, you'll look back and see message send failure, and you're like, really? Really? Thank you.
Yeah. So you show up 4 minutes late, and then what do you get, the fifth degree?
Not really a fifth degree. I mean, it was more along the lines of, okay, yeah, this is bad. You should have called. Why?
Uh-huh.
It wasn't a, where were you, who were you with, why are you late? It was more along the lines of, okay, we're disappointed. And that, and for me, disappointment is worse than shouting.
That's,
I don't know why that is.
Well, I'll digress for a small second. You're probably not familiar with this, but some of our listeners out there, I went to school at Indiana, and Bobby Knight was a basketball coach at the time, and I used to lift weights a lot of times with the basketball players, and I'll never forget, it was Dan Dockett or Uwe Blob or whatever, they had come back, and Bobby Knight was a basketball coach who foul-mouthed, yelled and screamed, did a whole bunch of stuff, and everybody was used to him, but I'll never forget, they lost to Michigan one time, they flew back in the middle of the night, and the next day I saw the basketball players, they'd just gotten out of practice, and they looked like ghosts. And I'm like, what the hell happened? Apparently Bobby just walked in and sat on an exercise cycle and read a magazine, was silent the whole time. That scared us more than when he was ranting and raving.
Oh, yeah. That's the most terrifying, is when you're expecting the screaming and all you get is the I'm disappointed or the silence, and it's like, oh, wow, that's really bad.
So tip number two out there for parents, sometimes if you're absolutely silent, you're probably a little bit more effective than when you're ranting and raving.
Oddly enough, yeah.
It's strange how that works, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I want to kind of just kind of wrap up I brought up the curfew thing for a second because it seems to me in the ADHD household, emotions can run some stuff, and if some of the smallest things sometimes can probably get blown a little bit out of proportion. And at the same time, you're admitting like, well, you know, I probably should have called, but it just didn't occur to me at that point in time. I wasn't really thinking through or paying attention to it. So those with ADHD might be more apt to just forget some of those things and forget to check in. But at the same time, in ADHD household, you need to be kind of careful because sometimes people might get fly off the handle a little bit more as a result of just something small. 4 minutes is just 4 minutes, right?
Yeah. That's what I was thinking.
So it's interesting. So just need to go to another break, but real quickly, a couple tips for your parents out there. Sometimes maybe silence is better than screaming. And then two, maybe give your child the opportunity to have the last word, your teen to have the last word, because it actually might end the argument, because if both of you are trying to make the last point, who knows where it'll end. So with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is TimeTimer.com.
I'm Jeff Copper, host of Attention Talk Radio, here to talk to you about CopyTalk.com, a voice dictation service. This is not just some voice dictation software. It's a real dictation service by people who type whatever you want. When I need to document something, all I do is hit speed dial on my cell or work phone and start speaking. The folks at CopyTalk will type it up and email it back to me that day. The best part is I can dictate as many 4-minute messages as I want, all for one flat monthly fee. Go to copytalk.com/ATR, enter Jeff Copper as the referrer's name, and sign up for the free trial account today. If you tell them I sent you, then you'll get $20 off the monthly subscription for as long as you keep the service.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We're with Bex, and we're talking about being a teen in an ADHD household. Bex, we only got a couple minutes left, but we're going to kind of talk about some tips that you have out there for other teenagers from your perspective, because I think it might be helpful for parents to hear it from a teenager's eye. I know one of the things that you had mentioned when we were getting ready for the show was lots of smiling, lots of nodding, and lots of eye contact.
Definitely. Parents love it when you're listening, or when at least they think you're listening. You could be elsewhere. You could be in La La Land with rainbows and unicorns and sunshine and ponies. As long as you look like you're listening, they're happy. I mean, of course, they're going to want to, like, quiz you afterwards, go, okay, so what did I just say? So you do have to kind of pay attention.
Mm-hmm. You got to remember the buzzwords.
Yeah. My friend has this incredible talent where she can look like she's totally spaced, totally not paying any attention at all, you'll go, okay, so fine, what did I just say? And she will repeat word for word everything you just said up to what did I just say.
Wow.
It gets annoying sometimes when you really want to, when you really want to stump her.
Yep, yep. Now, do you have trouble smiling, nodding, and looking in their eye?
Sometimes. I mean, it's good when you agree and you take it in stride, but I'm kind of, I have this whole issue where I can sometimes be kind of argumentative, and I just don't want to agree. I don't feel like taking it and going with it. I feel like I want, it's not what I want. I want something else. And it's harder to smile and nod because I get all stubborn.
Yep, I hear you. I hear you. One of the things that you said is, you know, don't talk back, although it just happens sometimes when you get into that argument, you know what I'm saying? But one of the things we talked about last time is even if you don't disagree, try to look like you're listening to them, which goes back to the nodding and smiling stuff. And then the other one is you mentioned is mirror back to them what they're saying so they know that you're listening to them, which sounds like is what your friend does.
Yeah, so and also in my family, what we like to do is this thing called get it, got it, good, where, and lately what we've been doing with get it, got it, good is we edited it, so it's get it, and you say got it, and then you say what you got. Like, in fact, I want you to go clear the dishes. Get it? Got it. I'll go clear the dishes. Good. And you move on, and you go clear the dishes.
Wow. You like that?
To make sure that you everyone knows, you know what you got.
Yep.
Because it stemmed from we had get it got it good in place, but then we get it got it good at something, and I totally forgot what it was, and totally forgot get it got it good in it, and kind of got in trouble for it.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a meeting, and we put get it got it what do you got good in place.
Excellent. That's a nifty little tip for the whole family, particularly because we're talking as if you got to get it, got it good, but this goes both ways, right?
Yeah.
Like.
Yes.
You got to pick up in carpool line, right? Got it. You're supposed to be there at 4:00. I'm in the car. Good.
Yeah, and at the same time, you really got to make sure you're nice about it, because if you do it the way that they do it, then they'll think you're making fun of them and being disrespectful, and that's just never good.
Yep. Well, that goes back to talking back to your parents and all that kind of stuff. But you have the pressure's on you to do it a little bit differently because you are the kid, not the parent, right?
Yeah, you have to be very polite about it, and you have to do it very nicely and be very careful. It's a good idea to do it.
Absolutely. I kind of like that. I like the get it, got it good. It's kind of a good little thing there. The other thing is, we talked about as a teenager, talking to the teens out there, you know, you acknowledge that you're never allowed to end the conversation. So if you know that up front, you can kind of sometimes get out of it. You had said something last time, and I just can expand it. Never share your opinion unless you're calm and can explain it.
Yeah, it's never a good idea to... you know the never go to sleep angry?
Yep.
And Groundhog Days, don't drive angry.
Mm-hmm.
One of the best parts of that movie. Anyway, sorry. Spaceage. Anyway. But the whole don't go to bed angry, well, don't try to get your parents to say yes to something angry. Always come up with... If you've seen Easy A or Zombieland or Crazy Stupid Love, you know who Emma Stone is.
Mm-hmm.
She's a brilliant, brilliant actor. And she was also The Help. But she's a brilliant, brilliant actress. And what she did when she was about 14 years old is she made a PowerPoint presentation for her parents to convince them to let her move out to California and pursue acting. And it worked, because what she did was she did it calmly, and I guess PowerPoint could be eloquence if she typed enough. But basically she did it calmly, and she presented it well, and she presented a good reason in a good way.
It's interesting because it sounded, I'm not familiar with any of this stuff, but in a PowerPoint presentation, if she's thinking about how they would receive it, she's almost trying to speak their language a little bit so that she can get their point across in a weird sort of way. Because if the parents speak German and you speak French, it's easier if you try to translate it into German as opposed to expecting them to learn French. I mean, that's a weird metaphor, but that calm down and explain it in a language that they can understand really makes a lot of sense when you think about it.
Yeah, when you're calm, there's a lot more. You can say things you can say things much more clearly.
Mm-hmm.
Did I even say that well at all? I hope I said that well. Well, guess I'm not calm. Oops. But you definitely are much clearer when you're calm, and that definitely comes across when you're speaking to parents.
And that kind of goes back to if you're not calm and there's more emotions and there's ADHD involved, it's really not going to help the situation. That's like throwing gasoline onto a fire.
Pretty much.
A few other things real quick. One is you had said, I thought this was funny, tears are okay but not in an argument.
Oh, yeah. Like if there's something that you really, if it's something that really means a lot to you,
mm-hmm.
And it's okay. It's actually helpful to show that. If it's something that really means a lot to you, if it's something you really, 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 really want,
mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's a good thing. Like, if it's something you want to do with your life, if it's a camp experience, learning experience, or job experience that you're really interested in and will help you in the long run, then it's actually surprisingly helpful to actually show that emotion,
mm-hmm.
to show them how much it means to you, which means that honest to God, tears are okay. Don't make yourself cry. Don't you make yourself cry. But if you actually end up crying because you want it so much, that comes across and parents understand that.
Well, I'm hearing that's passion. That's not arguing, you know what I'm saying? The tears are kind of coming out when you're passionate about something. It's okay to let them know that you're passionate about it, but it's not I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you don't want to cry during an argument just as a tactical type thing, because it doesn't sound like it works.
Yeah, during an argument it becomes one of those, are you kidding me? It's one of those, okay, now it becomes one of those, is she trying to influence me with tears?
Yep.
Well, it's not going to work, and now I'm extra stubborn.
Yep, well, I hear that makes all the sense in the world. One other tip that you had said that just rounds out my mind, and to wrap this up, and I think this really kind of works for both sides. Remember, your life is not like a TV show or movie. It's the real world.
Oh yeah, totally. You see in things where the kid is where there's this argument and it escalates and the kid just goes, you never listen to me, and the parent shuts up.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that never happens. I mean, you never listen to me? No! As soon as you say that to a parent in real life, it becomes, oh, I listen to you more than you know. And it becomes this whole battle of who listens more.
Mm-hmm.
And your life is not like an HBO family series special thing. If you think of it that way, you are screwed.
On both sides.
Oh, totally.
If you're a parent and think that you can do something rationally, your kid's going to kind of come around on something. Because part of this goes back to the top of the show we talked about. You know, naturally, as I have told my son, which I'm really talking to myself, I'm talking at him, but this is really mostly for me, is I'm trying to teach him to be an adult, which means all I can do is just kind of help provide the education and guide him along, but I have to kind of let go in that process, and it's natural for it's 16, 17, 18 to want to become independent. At the same time, I'm looking at my son thinking, or both my sons and thinking, wait a second, you know, it's hard to let go sometimes. And when you watch TV, they make it look so easy. And I can tell you, it's my experience
really,
as a parent.
It's really annoying, isn't it?
It's parenting is one of the hardest things I think I've ever done. But I also remember what little I remember when I was a teen. It was pretty hard being a teen. And now that I reflect back on it, I was always fighting to get the last word in too, and I don't think I succeeded very much at all.
Yeah.
So,
I didn't do so well.
So So, Bex, I want to thank you very much for kind of coming on. There's definitely a bunch of stuff that stood out for me. I think this will be helpful a lot for parents. You gave, there was a lot of like little tips in here that, I mean, I've learned a lot from this, again, in this conversation. I like the get it, got it good. The give my team the opportunity to get their point across kind of at the end. In an ADHD household, you've got to be conscious of emotions and stuff like that. There's a lot of stuff in here, and I do think that it's helpful for the teens out there. Sometimes just the smiling and nodding, let them know that you're listening. Mirror back kind of what they're saying. Tears are good, but not in an argument. It's all good, useful advice for both sides of the fence. So with that, Bex, thank you very much for coming on the show. It's been great.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
And everybody, just sit back and join us next week for another edition of Attention Talk Radio. Take care.